tell me about the team then. How did the team get put together?
John Cook was in charge of it. He was of the project. All right, the archaeology for the pipeline. Okay, at least for pretty much everything from Fairbanks north. Well, that's not true. Actually, everything from Section 1 was UAA and Alaska Pacific University were responsible for that. I can't remember where Section 1 starts, but it's just somewhere this side of Thompson Pass, I think. University of Alaska Fairbanks was responsible for everything north of there, which basically meant about Isabel Pass, you know, down on the Alaska Range, all the way to Prudhoe Bay. And the way it started out was that there were a couple people that he knew that when the need arose, he got in touch with them and said, look, would you be interested in working on this project for a few years? And I need you in the capacity of a supervisory archaeologist, crew boss, whatever you want to call him. It's actually more than a crew boss. And I was one of those people, along with Dale. And I think initially there were like about four of us. Well, actually, initially there was, I think I was the first one, but that was basically because I was right here in Fairbanks, you know, when things started up again. They had done some, like I said, some stuff, very preliminary stuff in 69 and then the summer of 70. But after that, it was over. All right. I think the reason that I sort of came on first was simply that everybody else had gone back to their various universities and whatnot. Well, I was actually living here in Fairbanks, so John got a hold of me first. And so I, just by virtue of the fact that I was, you know, a warm body and available, you know, I started off first, and I started in about March of 1974, back on the project again. I'd been on it earlier, but, you know, when the injunction stopped the project, obviously there wasn't any work for me, so, you know, I'd been doing other things. And then when it started up again, John came and got a hold of me. So there was Dale and I, and Mike Yarborough, Al Deacon, Ray Newell, and Wayne Wearsome, I think. That summer of spring and summer, well, summer of, I pretty much took care of things when they first started off up north in 74. But once the snow was gone and we needed more people than everybody else. And the way it was set up was there was John was in charge of the project. Then each section had two supervisory archaeologists, with the exception of the two northern sections. Dale and I had two sections up there. Then there was each one of those groups, all right, there's two supervisory archaeologists. Then each one of the groups had a field foreman. And then under the field foreman were the archaeologists, you know, the excavators, you know, whatever you want to call them. The way it was set up was that the two supervisory archaeologists in each section were directed everything. They were also the ones that dealt directly with the Alyeska personnel. In fact, we were considered Alyeska personnel. Our badges, because everybody had to have an ID badge with your picture on it and all this stuff, right? Our badges didn't say the University of Alaska. They said Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, because we were direct. We were employed by the university, but the university had rented us out to Alyeska, is what it amounted to. So anybody that was in that situation, whether it was us working for the university or an engineer working for some other consultant, if you were hired by Alyeska or your company was, then you were an employee of Alyeska Pipeline Service Company as far as the organizational milieu was concerned. So we were all Alyeska employees. And as a result of that, our, you know, if you look at the stratified we were at the top of the heap. In other words, we were pretty much autonomous, like a project engineer. If I wanted to get in the truck and go over here, I did it. If I felt I needed to go to town, I just put myself on the airplane manifest. We didn't have to check with anybody for anything like that, all right?